Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Kukuletu Mfupi. As you know by now, it's been a jam-packed show. Everything from the markets to company results of proudly South African businesses which have been in business for some more than 5 decades, others more than a century, but either way still making their impact on the continent. And a moment ago we spoke to Paul from Old Mutual Investment Group, who helped us contextualize the opportunities that exist for us to invest on the African continent in the listed space, so all the other stock exchanges besides the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. But one thing about investing in listed companies, they are brands. There are brands that speak to you and I. There's something about that company that perhaps influences how we buy and interact with them, what experiences we have of the brand, how efficient they are in terms of providing a product or a service to us. And the truth is, any brand builds loyalty. And that has also been evidenced over the last few years. If you know anything about us covering African brands or brands on the African continent from a global point of view, you'd be well aware that every year, Brand Africa, in partnership with African Business and the Economic Commission for Africa, unveil the results of the Brand Africa 100, Africa's best brand rankings. And there are a few familiar names that will pop up on the list, but the man behind it, of course, is the chairman and founder of Brand Africa, Thebe Ikalafeng. I'm always excited when I see you. Always so passionately about the continent.
I'm always excited when I talk to you as well. Always so informed and always so passionate as well.
I must say, so though, Thebe,
it's a mutual feeling.
I appreciate it. It's all love. I must say, as I look at my screen tonight, I'm surprised you're home, because the truth is, you are always somewhere on the continent or in the world.
Well, I got back yesterday. I got back yesterday because I was in Ethiopia. So because we announced the global results at the Africa Hall, which is, oh, by the way, you need to mark your calendar. Actually, mark your calendar. Mm-hmm. 22nd to the 25th of May, 2026. Come with us. We're going to announce the 16th list of the global African brands again in Africa Hall. We've now made it the permanent home of the global announcements, and the reason being, that's the place in 1963 on the 25th of May when the OAU was launched. Yes. So there's an iconic picture of the African presidents standing together, you know, the old ones, the Kenyattas and all those. That one, at that particular hall, in that particular room, that's where we announced them last week on Friday. Oh, and that's where we're going to be announcing them every year, as to see how far we've come as a continent.
100%. Well, the Kaya 959 team will be doing an outside broadcast from there, live from Ethiopia. We'll make sure we make it happen next year. This is why I love you, Thebe. But speaking about this report, as you've mentioned, it's not the first time that we've covered it. The truth is, we've been looking at the beautiful shifts and trends and growth and expansion of this particular report. Remind us again, just the levels of numbers, of insight, of information and data that you have to source in order to collate this report together.
Well, we're doing this study since 2011. So that's a long time. It's a 15th year this year. And we started off with just eight countries. And then it was like an omnibus, you know, getting onto somebody else's study, asking 2-3 questions. But we've expanded to now 31 countries. And those 31 countries collectively, they account for 85% of the continent's population and 85% of its GDP. So, and we go through, I kid you not, we amass 150,000 plus brands in that study. And but only about 5,930 are unique brands. And we reduce all that 5,930 to the top 100.
Sure.
And so it's quite a bit of a work to do this. That's why it takes about a few months for us to arrive at the list. So that's how long and how much it takes to do this.
100%. As I look through the list and some of the results, though, because this is where it gets exciting, right? Where we can see the names of the companies and the brands that we're familiar with and identify them as either the overall top 100 brands, the leading numbers there, or the top 100 African brands. And maybe let's start with overall, because there's a few interesting names here, but it also speaks to, I guess, the global economy and environment that we live in as an African continent.
Right. So let's start with overall. Overall, yes. 89% of the brands that Africans admire are not African. Mm. So only 11% of what we say we love this come from the continent. And that's a bit of a problematic, or it's an opportunity, depending on half glass full or half empty, whatever the phrase is. And if you look at that list, Nike has been number one for 8 years in a row. Mm. And it's just an incredible performance. And if you look at that, there's not much change in the top brands, because I guess the top brands know what it takes to be top and to stay on top of the list. Whether it's Nike, whether it's Adidas, whether it's Samsung, whether it's Coke, whether it's Apple, the top five, they pretty much have been the top brands for as long as one can remember. And remember, we track them every single year. And MTN has always been the number one African brand,
yes,
throughout, for most of the time actually, and always around there as the one brand from the continent that inspires us to say we can do this. MTN, Dangote, mm-hmm, generally around
100%. MTN, Dangote, as well as Azam Group, I see in the lead there in terms of the categories.
Azam, then you've got DSTV, then you've got Glow, you've got a few of them. Because only 11 of them out of 100. I mean, it's actually crazy that us as Africans, we don't love ourselves as much as we should. Because to me, I think it's a bit of a reflection on who we are. Because we don't see ourselves in relation to what comes from us. Mm. We measure our worth, but what comes from outside. And that's always been the challenge with the continent.
I love it. This is where you're getting me excited, Tebe, because the last time I heard you speak at the Africa Career Summit, you were very clear in actually saying we need to shift the narrative in terms of how we educate ourselves, but also the world, about what our African story and African narrative is. And I'm quite keen for you, perhaps, if you can underscore that again, but also link it in, you know, as to how some of the top African brands do exactly that, how some of these story companies share African stories in an African way. And perhaps that's what sees them constantly being featured on this Brand Africa report.
You know, I was explaining to somebody that why does MTN and Dangote and DSTV stay? Let's just look at those three that we're all familiar with. What makes them so relevant throughout this year? So MTN is in, 19 countries or so around the continent, has been around for 30 years. And in those 30 years, what has MTN done? It has connected Africans, has enabled them to do business, has enabled them to communicate. And so it's been a transformational brand. But it's the same with DSTV, if you will. DSTV, what have they done? They've now brought us, otherwise we would not have access to many of these international programs. Because of DSTV, and you saw some of the campaigns they do, also creating entrepreneurs and all those who put up those dishes. Now the dishes are going, they're going to France. I'm not happy, but it's just another side. And then when you look at Dangote, you know, I was in Nigeria. I was in Nigeria, and I was at a market, and they had a picture of Aliko Dangote. And they were selling flowers and oil from Dangote branded ones. And I was like, this is incredible. So there's a relationship between the person and the products.
Uh-huh.
And moving around, whether it's in Chad, whether it's in Niger, or whether it's any other of these other countries. And when people are building, I see empty packets of Dangote cement. I say, so these three brands, just use those as an example. Mm-hmm. They help to build, they help to connect, they are the foundation of the continent. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a better way to look at it. The foundation of the continent's progress. And to me, that's what they do so well. Their stories are developmental stories. Mm-hmm. Their stories are stories that transform, because they're an empowering brand. They help you to access and to become what you want.
100%. I'm also so intrigued by the number one most admired apparel brand, and that's Batu, the sneaker
How
brand.
Incredible is that?
Right? Theo Valois has done some good
When you look
there.
At that list, Batu was found with 10 years, actually 9 plus 1. So the first year or so it was developed. We were with him in Ethiopia, and he was explaining that the first year or so he was more experimenting, trying to build a case for that. Then the next year is doing his 10th year. So in 10 years, last year was the number one brand in South Africa, above all the other ones we've mentioned.
Oh, wow.
In South Africa.
Sure.
So the South African results are coming out on the 13th of June. So I'll be quite keen to see who's going to be on top of that list. So, but Batu is the number one apparel brand in the continent. And that's inspiring, because that's a story that another kid in the township will say, or somewhere, township here, anywhere in the continent, will say, I too can get onto the list. Because people always ask him, hey, how can we get onto the list? I say, do a good job. just go there and connect and be relevant and stay relevant. You know, when you look at Batu's story, when he tells his story, it doesn't tell you how rich he is. It tells the story about the number of jobs he's creating. It tells the story about the possibility of a kid from Alex or Tembisa, kind of which one. He tells you the story of how the brand is named after it uses a township language, but it's packaged in a global. So it's a global African story. It's a development story. It's an empowering story, and that's what makes the story of Batu so inspirational for me.
100%. What I'm also quite keen to get into in the report, as there's a feature as well in terms of media, financial brands as well. I also see that various countries are represented, and Morocco definitely growing in terms of the brands or countries of brands that are represented. What stands out for me is the sustainable brands. These are brands that are doing good for society, people and environment. And we can't ignore that there's a strong reliance on a number of NGOs who are largely connected to the US, like United Nations, World Health Organization, WHO, USAID, Red Cross, World Vision. And when we take a look, Tebe, at the catastrophe of geopolitics and just the meeting that was held last week in the Oval Office that I understand became an octagon, this raises some concern around, you know, the sustainability of those brands in the NGO space in the African context. And do they run the risk of perhaps that finesse being lost because of the presidency of Donald Trump?
Well, when you look at, let's just focus on the, on. So what we did with the sustainability, we broke it into three parts. We broke it into African brands, non-African brands, and non-profit brands. The non-profits are the ones you're talking about. Yes. If you look at just the actions of removing USAID, that cost a 40% a dent in global aid. It gives you an idea of just how much that took away from the rest of the world. But it's not a bad thing, by the way. We should be excited about that, because it means that for a chance, we get to fund our own programs. Because it's important for us to also to be not an aid-driven continent, but rather to be a brand-driven continent. And that's why when you see the two brands, which are the non-profit and non-African and African brands, MTN leading again as the number one most admired brand when it comes to creating a better life for society and the environment, and Coca-Cola in the non-African brands. And we split them out there first deliberately in looking at the study. And we think that where we should be going as a continent, I'm thinking at least, that it should be the way that the MTNs of the world are going in terms of for doing good for society. I mean, I think MTN also did well in doing good for Africa. So we looked at society and environment. Then we then ask the question, which brand does good for Africa? Then I'm asking another question for you, which you asked, you mentioned, alluded to earlier. Then we also ask, which country contributes to a better Africa? Yes. And they said South Africa. Oh. So you got South Africa as the number one country, ahead of Nigeria, ahead of the US,
yes,
which are contributing to a better Africa. And then you've got MTN, the brand from South Africa, contributing to a better Africa. Then we did another index. Then the third index we did was quite interesting. We now asked ourselves the question, who is the most influential country doing business in the continent? So now that was an interesting one. Mm-hmm. Because now we said, forget African brands. We get brands. So we now did a metric, an index, which combines brand mentions across seven categories, FDI, and weighted GDP. And the US is number one when you just look at the number of brands.
Yes.
And then it's also number one when you incorporate FDI. But it is number 10 when you weight the GDP. Because the sheer size of the economy, if you weight it properly, then you look at the relative influence in the continent, the most influential country is the UK.
My goodness, this is so interesting. Oh, a part of my brain just went back to colonial times. So it almost seems as though they're...
I know. That's why we're speaking English now, because the UK has done a good job on us. and we use Vodafone, Vodacom, UK.
Precisely. There's so much to it here, Tebe. We could continue to, you know, analyze and unpack the many different brands, the countries and their influence. But one thing's for certain is that it's all interwoven as part of the storytelling. For the benefit of those who want to read the report, where can they access it? And most importantly, we have brand managers walk in and out of our building every other day. What should they be doing with this useful information to ensure that they shift the trajectory of the brands that they represent across South Africa and the continent?
To me, I think they should be asking themselves the question, are we relevant to the Africans, to the African child, the African consumer? Are we staying, are we innovating, and are we investing? Because that's what the big brands do. They invest, they innovate, they're relevant. And let me give you a perspective. If you look at how much African businesses, African countries invest in R&D, 0.2% or something of the GDP. When you look at the rest of the world, they are at 2.5, between 2.5 and 3.5% of their GDP. So if you're not investing in R&D, you can't be innovating. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the trademarks that Africans, the creatives are registering, Africa only accounts for 1.8, whereas China is at like 50-60% of the trademarks which are registered. So that's why they're coming up with brands all the time. We just always complain that somebody's stealing our idea. But nobody's stealing your idea. You haven't registered it. It's not your idea. So the brand managers should be innovating. They should be investing in research. They should be staying relevant. They should be telling better stories. As Africans, that's the one thing that comes natural to us, telling stories. And we should stop wanting to become Western, because just because it's West doesn't mean that it's the best.
Yeah.
Because the mistake that we make and we forget is that the rest of the world tells a story from who they are, and we want to copy them. Mm. Maybe they're going to beat us. It's not our game. Mm. Our game is African.
100%. Tebe, it's always such a pleasure speaking to you. Always so fulfilling, always so exciting, and also so informative and empowering for all of us to remember our place on the continent. Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir.
It's a gray beard. It's a gray beard.
It's wisdom.
I will see you. I'm seeing you in Ethiopia on the 22nd to the 25th of May next year. But I'm seeing you before that on the 13th of June at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. And third, we're going to remind Mpo that we don't go to Africa. We are already in Africa.
Oh, yes.
So we're not investing anywhere else in Africa. We're investing in the rest of Africa. But we love Mpo. Yes. Michelle is a great brand.
Definitely, definitely. On that note, you've traveled to all the African countries, right, Tebe? So every time you go to Ethiopia or Nigeria, you're going like for the third or 14th time.
No, if it's Ethiopia, it's like next door. It's in Soweto. So I'm always there. So it's en route. It's en route everywhere. I mean, I've been to all the countries multiple times.
Oh.
And so the ones that are definitely are next door are Kenya, Ethiopia, Ghana. Those are next door. And the rest of them, I mean, I was in Nigeria this month and I was in Ethiopia. And I'm in Botswana, I'm in Lesotho, all this month.
And I got excited about Namibia. So I'm sure that's like down the
road. I know, imagine yourself.
Tebe, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate
it. Great talking to you, Kugu. Love you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Tebe Ikalafenge joining us as the chairman and founder of Brand Africa, helping us get into the Brand Africa report. Brand Africa 100, Africa's best brand rankings. So share your thoughts. As you can imagine, I've been speaking to Tebe, since my career really started. So it's been so amazing to see this shift in the brands and their popularity, and others that have just stood the test of time. And whether you say Dangote in Nigeria, in South Africa, in Lesotho, in Mozambique, in the DRC, everybody knows who you're talking about. And that just speaks to the power and the influence of the man as an entrepreneur. Of course, his political ties, but of course, the impact he's had in the Nigerian business fraternity. Coupled with that, MTN as well, which features on the list of the top 100 brands on the African continent. So I hope that does give you some perspective of the conversations we've had here today. You're listening to Kaya Biz with myself, Kukuletu Mfupi.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp Google it on Foopy
063-688-0959.
Kaya Biz.
On the street, on the air.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.